see some visitors here today. We're going to open our service this morning. Oh, we've got some more coming. We're going to open our service this morning with Silent Night. What number is that? 346. 346, Silent Night. However, going to be a little bit different. We're going to have the first verse sung by Dalian Archer. Oh. We'll now ask Brother Mark to open this service with prayer.
Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we humbly and thankfully come before Thy precious throne of grace this day. Once again, dear Heavenly Father, to thank Thee for all of Thy tender mercies and love that Thou hast shown to us and all of Thy people. And we thank Thee, dear Heavenly Father, especially this time of year, as we think about Thy dear Son and His birth and what it means coming into the world to give His life for a ransom for all the world of mankind. We thank Thee, dear Heavenly Father, for this precious gift that You have provided for us. We would pray that You would be with each heart bowed before You this day. We ask for Your guidance and direction in all things. We ask that You be with our dear brother Peter as he leads our thoughts this morning. Indeed, we pray that we might be faithful in our vows of consecration to Thee and walk faithfully in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior. We indeed pray for Thy kingdom when all mankind will praise Thy name in one accord. We patiently wait for that day and ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Mark. And brethren, that was beautiful. Your singing was wonderful this morning. So, what does Christmas mean to the modern world today? Well, it means sales at stores, 30% off Black Friday specials, Christmas jingles on the radio, commercials on TV. Ask a typical child the name of the great person and his disciples that Christmas is all about, and they may look you in the eye and say, well, Santa Claus and his elves. But what does Christmas mean to us? Now, although we know Jesus was not born on December 25th, we still acknowledge that many in the world believe he was born on this day. And rather than argue with them and try to force them to realize he was born sometime in the fall, we're happy just knowing they acknowledge the birth of our Savior. So why has Christmas become so commercial? And who's responsible for the tradition of gift giving? Well, to answer that question, we must go back in time and read about the wise men who came from the East, whose goal was to visit the newborn king of the Jews and give him three gifts. But how did they know when the king was going to be born and where? Well, they were called wise men not because they were geniuses, but because they were educated. And education back in that day was not just about mathematics and science, but it also included the studies of various religions and cultures. They knew the story of how Nebuchadnezzar's dreams were interpreted by Daniel's God, the God of Israel. Now, another question we should answer is, who did the wise men talk to when they arrived in Jerusalem on their way to the birthplace? So to answer those questions, we're going to read from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 15. Matthew 2, 1 through 15. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said to him, "Well, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the wise men and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the wise men left for their own country by another way. Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Mary's husband Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." So, what were some of the Old Testament prophecies that they had access to and that would help them understand about the coming of Messiah? Well, throughout the remainder of this service, we're going to call upon various brethren to read some of the Old Testament scriptures which prophesy about Jesus' birth and his heritage. So each one, there are 21. When I call your number, just raise your hand and we'll have a microphone brought to you. So for prophecy number one, how do we know that Messiah would be born of a woman? We're going to read Genesis 3:15.
And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel.
And who is the seed talked about in that verse? We're given the answer in the New Testament, and I'll read that verse. It's Galatians 3:16 and Galatians 4:4. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is, Christ Jesus. And Galatians 4:4, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. For prophecy number two, how do we know Messiah would be born in Bethlehem? Who has number two? Here we go. Prophecy number two. We're going to read Micah 5:2.
But as for you, Bethlehem, Ephrata, too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you, one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the day of eternity.
Very good. Now for prophecy number three, how do we know Messiah would be born of a virgin? Who has number three? Look on your piece of paper. See if you have number three on there. No one? Oh, up, right behind you. There we go.
Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son.
Very good. Thank you. So what would it have been like on the night that Jesus was born? Would it be dark and dreary? Cloudy and rainy? Well, to answer that question, the choir will sing, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear."
And man at war with man, here's God. and hear the angels sing. For though the days are hastening on, thy prophet bars foretold, when with the ever-circling years comes round the angel cold, when this shall over all the earth its ancient splendors gleam, and the whole world stand at the sun which now the angels sing.
It came upon a midnight clear. Now earlier we read the words spoken to our very first parents, Adam and Eve, regarding the promised seed. About 2,000 years later, that promise was given again, but this time to a righteous man named Abraham. And he was told that through his seed, which we now know as Christ Jesus, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. So for prophecy number 4, raise your hand if you have number 4. For prophecy number 4, how do we know Messiah would come from the line of Abraham? We'll read Genesis 22:18.
In your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed.
And at the very beginning of the entire New Testament in the Bible, that prophecy is confirmed. It says in Matthew 1:1, the record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So for prophecy number 5, would Messiah be Abraham's firstborn male child? No, we know it was Isaac. But how do we know Messiah would be a descendant of Isaac? Let's read who has number 5. Right there. Genesis 21:12.
But God said to Abraham, do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her, for through Isaac your descendants shall be named.
Very good. Through Isaac. Prophecy number 6, right beside you. We also know that Messiah would be a descendant of Jacob. So now let's read Numbers 24:17.
I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob. A scepter shall rise from Israel.
Very good. Thank you. For prophecy number 7, who has that? Oh, all the way back there. We know that Jacob had 12 sons, but from which of the tribes would Messiah come? The answer is Judah. Let's read Genesis 49:10.
The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples.
Very good. For number 8, raise your hand. Oops, all the way up there. From the line of Judah, a great king by the name of David was born. But how do we know David was not the promised Messiah? So for prophecy number 8, let's read what the prophet Samuel said to King David in 2 Samuel 7:12-13.
When your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever.
Very good. Now when it says, he shall build a house for my name, we know that will bring glory to our Heavenly Father. But our Heavenly Father will also share some of that glory with His Son. The choir will now sing Hark, the herald's angels sing, glory to the newborn king. The herald angels sing. For prophecy number 9, what was number 9? Right over there. As a king, how long will Messiah's reign last? We'll read Psalm 45, 6 and 7.
Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above your fellows.
Very good. Now, we all know the phrase, what's in a name? And regarding the new king, he was given a name that lets us know he is in perfect harmony with the will of our Heavenly Father. In fact, the meaning of the name is, God is with us. For prophecy number 10, who has number 10? All the way over there. For prophecy number 10, what is that name? We'll read Isaiah 7:14.
We know the phrase, what's in a name?
Oh, no, just the scripture.
Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel.
Very good. Emmanuel, God is with us. A mother and her child. What a beautiful picture that is. The choir will now sing, What Child Is This?
What child is this so late to rest on Mary's lap in sleeping? Whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch our keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. My eyes need such need. Where ox and ass are feeding, good Christians fear for sinners here the silent word is pleading. This is Christ the King whom guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to on him, the King of Kings, salvation greets that loving hearts enthroned him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing.
What child is this? For prophecy number 11, all the way up there. Although we know he would be born in Bethlehem, there is a prophecy that tells us Messiah would spend a season in Egypt. For number 11, let's read Hosea 11:1.
When Israel was a youth, I loved him. And out of Egypt I called my son.
Very good. And let's read the New Testament verse, which quotes that Old Testament scripture. And it's found in Matthew 2:14-15. So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Would it be obvious to many that Jesus was the promised Messiah right from the beginning? Or would there first be a messenger who would prepare the way for Messiah? For prophecy number 12, who has number 12? Oh, down there, very good. For prophecy number 12, let's read Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5.
A voice is calling, "Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken."
Very good, thank you. Now, of course, we know that was referring to John the Baptist, who preached the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins in preparation for the coming of Jesus. Was John the Baptist well received by all the people? No, especially not the religious leaders of that day. But what about Jesus? Would he be well received by all? Or would he be rejected even by many of his own people? For prophecy number 13, back there, let's read two different verses. We're going to read Psalm 69:8 and Isaiah 53:3.
Psalm 69:8. I have become estranged from my brothers and an alien to my mother's sons. Isaiah 53:3. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him.
Thank you. For prophecy number 14, down here in the front, one of the greatest leaders Israel ever had was Moses. And what did Moses say about the coming Messiah? We'll read Deuteronomy 18:15.
The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. From the fellow Israelites, you must listen to him.
Very good. Now, although Moses said that Messiah would be a prophet, we're told by King David in the Psalms that Jesus would be much more than a prophet. Messiah would be declared the Son of God. For prophecy number 15, who has that? Up here. Let's read Psalm 2:7.
I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you."
Very good. Thank you. And in prophecy 16, we learn that Messiah would be called a Nazarene. Let's read Isaiah 11:1.
Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, a branch from his roots will bear fruit.
And the New Testament refers to that in Matthew 2:23. Thank you for reading that. Matthew 2:23. And he came and lived in a city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Now, we also learn in prophecy number 17 that Messiah would bring light to Galilee. Prophecy number 17. There we go. That's going to be Isaiah 9:1-2.
But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them.
Very good, thank you. Now this is, of course, referenced in Matthew 4:13-16, which says, "And leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, which was just read. Thank you for that. Now, when Jesus spoke to the people, did our Heavenly Father want everyone to understand his message clearly? The answer is no. For prophecy number 18, let's read two verses. Who has 18? Oh, very good. We're going to have Psalm 78, 2 through 4, and Isaiah 6, 9 through 10.
Psalm 78, 2 through 4. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. Isaiah 6, 9 through 10. Go and tell this people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull and their eyes dim, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed.
Thank you. Although his words may not be understood by all, one thing would be made clear. Through the act of many healings and casting out of evil spirits, and even raising the dead, it would be obvious that the Messiah had been sent to heal the brokenhearted. For prophecy number 19, who has 19? Good. We'll read Isaiah 61, 1 and 2.
Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn.
Thank you. Now, lest anyone think Jesus was just another prophet with the ability to heal, we are told in prophecy number 20 that Messiah would be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Who has number 20? Very good. Would you read Psalm 110, 4?
The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.
Excellent. But would Messiah be recognized as a king? Who has number 21? All right. Would he be recognized as a king? Yes, because he would do something that newly appointed, anointed kings would do when presented to the people. Let's read Zechariah 9:9.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey.
Excellent. And I'll read from Mark 11, 7 through 11. They brought the colt to Jesus and put their coats on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their coats in the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. Those who went in front and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Our Heavenly Father would draw many people to the newly anointed king. But not just at that moment in time, but in the years which followed, many would come to Jesus. The choir will now sing, O come, all ye faithful.
Faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye all.
Beginning of the service, we talked about gift giving. But the ultimate example of gift giving is recorded in the scriptures. It's John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." But the manner in which Jesus was given as a gift required that he be given as a sacrifice. And the prophecies also tell us that he would be betrayed, falsely accused, silent before his accusers, and crucified with criminals. However, the prophecies also tell us the good news, that he would be resurrected from the dead, ascend to heaven, and be seated at the right hand of God. And through him, all pain, sorrow and death would not just be eliminated, but would be replaced with peace, love, and life everlasting. For our final verses, we'll read Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore." Brethren, the sorrow of yesterday would be turned into the joy of tomorrow. Let's now close this service by having everyone sing hymn number 144, "Joy to the World." We're going to sing verses 1 through 4, hymn number 144. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the many blessings that you've given us today, and we pray your continued guidance and blessing. We thank you for the opportunity to remember the birth of your Son and his influence, not just in our lives, Father, but for the whole world to come. Father, we pray that we may each day be more like him in all that we say, think, and do. We now pray your blessing upon this meal that we're about to have, this fellowship. We pray a blessing upon the food, upon the hands that prepared it. We pray a blessing upon our brethren throughout the world and our families. We pray forgiveness where we fall short, and we especially pray for thy coming kingdom, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all.